The first scripture reading for this first Sunday in Lent is found in your Bibles in the book of Deuteronomy. It's page 214 in your pew Bibles, and we read Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 11. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land, that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in the office at that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 10. It's found on page 1211 in your pew Bibles. We read Romans 10, beginning at verse 8. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. But there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, page 1099 in your pew Bibles, and we read Luke 4, beginning at verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on our gospel lesson for today, the temptations of Jesus. You know, sometimes you think something's a good idea, and then it turns out to be one of the stupidest things you could have done in your life. Some of you are already shaking your heads. I remember it was probably in, I think, about the third grade, based on the house I remember it happening in. When I would come home from school, I was usually thirsty and hungry. My mom used to call me the orange juice kid, because if there was any orange juice left from breakfast in the morning, it was gone when I came home from school. But she would buy different juices sometimes. She'd have grape juice and other kinds of juices in the house. And I remember coming home one time, and I was thirsty as usual and hungry as usual. And out on the kitchen table, there was a jug of something. I thought it was juice. I got out a glass. I poured myself a nice big full glass of whatever that was. And I was about to throw it down my throat, and something just didn't seem right. I set the glass down, looked at the jug to see what it was, and as I'm spinning around, I see the skull and crossbones. It was a gallon of ammonia. God be praised, I didn't throw that down. There is a story about my mother-in-law who came home Thursday one time, and was it turpentine? She threw down a glass of turpentine to quench her thirst. Not a good thing to do, people. Seems like a good idea at the moment, but like so many good ideas at the moment, sometimes it's just the worst thing that you could ever do. The devil came to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. I suppose he was hungry. But he had a reason for fasting and for giving up that food. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread and eat." Now that sounds like a good idea after 40 days of not eating. But there was something about the question Satan put to him that just was not right. Does Jesus prove that he's divine? Does he need to prove that to Satan, when Satan already knew it? If he didn't eat, or if he didn't make the bread, did that mean he really wasn't God? No, of course not. But Satan likes to place those little traps in front of us. And he continues to do so today. You know, I think it's particularly true with young people, but not exclusively so. Somebody says to you, well, you know, if you really loved me, or if you were really my friend, and then they ask us to do something stupid or foolish, something we know that is not right, to prove ourselves. Do we really have to prove who we are? We are what God has made us to be, and you don't have to prove that, particularly by undertaking things that God would forbid in his almighty word. Satan comes to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ again, as he comes to us again and again and again. He has authority, Satan does, over the things of this world. He's allowed to use them to manipulate him. And he promised Christ all the glory, all the wealth of the world. Just one little thing, he had to bow down and worship him. As if somehow the glory and the wealth of this world is something we need to have. But we see the stories each and every day in the news, on television, on the newspaper, or maybe in those blogs you read on the internet. Somebody who seems to have it all. Some actor, some television star, or some big financier on Wall Street. And then we find out they've gone to jail because of crimes they've committed, or they've taken their own lives. Because although they've reached the pinnacle of their careers, they find there's no real joy, no real peace. They're empty inside and they don't know where else to look. You know, there's a legal firm in the state of Florida who specializes simply in the business of handling bankruptcies for lottery winners. Oh, if I could just win the lottery. But that's not where our happiness and our peace is to be found. And then Jesus is tempted one last time. But Jesus is not so much being asked to prove something. The temptation is to challenge God himself to prove himself. Cast yourself off this pinnacle. Doesn't the scripture say that God is going to help you? God is going to protect you? He quoted the word of God itself. And the word of God is always true. But God does not have to prove himself to you, no more than you have to prove yourself to him. Because the proof that he loves you, that he cares about you, and that he only wants good for you, he's already proven there on the cross. How much does he love you? He would sacrifice the life of his only son that he could have your life and your love. Is there some other kind of proof that God can give to show how much you are loved, how much he cares? how much he's willing to sacrifice? No, there is not. And yet, has Satan not come to us, each and every one of us, on some occasion, and try to put that doubt in your hearts and in your minds? You know, if God really loved you, would he let this happen to you? If God really cared about you, wouldn't he help you and overcome this problem or trouble? Again and again, he bids us to put God to the test, as if God has not already proven who he is and how he loves you and me. Granted, life in this world is not always easy, but neither did God ever promise that living in the world of sin would be. We suffer from our own mistakes and sins. We suffer the results of the sins, the mistakes of others. But this is what God has guaranteed. They shall not utterly destroy you. And that your redemption and your eternal glory are guaranteed by the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, offered up on the cross, and in his glorious resurrection from the dead, in which we who have been united to him in our baptisms have been united both into his death and his resurrection. The devil hasn't changed much in the thousands of years from the temptation of Christ. He still uses the same tricks on us as he used on Jesus. And there is one thing that we can use to unmask his trickery and to defeat him. It's the same thing that our Lord and Savior Jesus used every time he was tempted. He would go to the Word of God, not doubting at all God's promise and God's love. And he would quote those words and overcome the temptation. May God grant when the devil comes to tempt us as well, that we in faith will also go to that Word of God and defeat his power in our lives. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.